Ladies, did you know that your ability to live and feel authentically feminine is connected to your sexual power? Gentlemen, have you ever wondered what's behind those days when she seems to shine from within? If you answered yes to either of those questions, stay tuned for The O Spot with best-selling romance author Rachel Kenley and get to the source of your power so you are living a life of greater connection and joy.
Good evening, good evening. I am here with you tonight. It is Wednesday, once again. It's November 18th. My music is still playing. La, la, la. Okay, that's enough. All right. I'm a little funky tonight. I'm exhausted, people. How are you? Really, I need to talk shit so you guys can respond to me. All right. I'm great. I missed you guys last week. I had a bad cough, and I was losing my voice, and I was knew that if I was here, I'd be coughing in your ear all night. I may actually still do it a little bit, and I apologize in advance for that. But I'm here. There was no way I was missing 2 weeks in a row. That would just be too weird. And my plan is to be here with you next week for the day before Thanksgiving. Guess what we're going to talk about? Yeah, gratitude. Gratitude, 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 because that is, it's amazing, actually, how much that figures into everything and how it changes our lives and how it really can and should be at the center of what we do and who we are and how we be, because it's been quite a week, huh? Quite a weekend. This past weekend, actually, I was up in Maine with my Thursday Night Writers Group and a few extras from the New England Horror Writers Group at a writer's retreat where, I have to say, I got a buttload done. Very, very happy to say that. Really, really got a lot done. I got over 12,000 words written that over the weekend, and 5,000 plus more since I've been home. And voila, her stepbrother's Christmas gift is done. It's going through some edits, and then I'll get to my publisher, and you guys will have it in December. But of course, while I was away, I got two pieces of news. One hit close to home, and one hit overseas. The overseas one everybody has heard, and that was the shootings in Paris. And in case you haven't been on Facebook, you know our hearts go out to the people there. It's really quite awful. As anybody who lived through anything here for 9/11 knows. And it was weird in some ways to have it happen somewhere else other than here. I'm almost getting used to things kind of happening close to home, which is a terrible thing, I suppose, in some ways. But it was frightening and hard and painful to hear about that. So that was actually the second piece of news that I got, because the first piece of news was that the wife of our rabbi had died, and she was a great teacher and a good friend, and as one of my sons remembers, an awesome, awesome cook. We had dinner with them. She was a good friend. She was a woman who knew herself. She was a teacher in every sense of the word, in all ways. It was her purpose. It was her vocation. It was her avocation. And they had to close the streets in the town where our temple is, because there were so many cars. It was over 800 people in attendance. And one of her sons said the only thing she wouldn't have been pleased about was the fact that it took this to get this many people together. So I found myself just really thinking about change. See, cough is still there. And loss. And how things happen without us having any warning sometimes. And my mother posted on her Facebook page, killing and destroying is easy and cowardly. What have the terrorists created? What have they given the world? And it made me think of the last line, basically the last line, in the song La Vie Bohème, which closes Act One of the Jonathan Larson musical Rent. I apologize. My router seems to be having trouble again tonight. The opposite of war isn't peace, it's creation. We've discussed fear here and what that does to us, how it makes us react and be reactive, how it makes us short-tempered, short-sighted, difficult. The worst fights of my life with my parents, with my husband, all stem because somebody was fearful of something. And how do you think to create something new and something better when fear is guiding your thoughts? Too many people have become willing to both listen to the fear mongers who confirm our worst fears, our deepest suspicions, and then offer supposed solutions, not to the problems, but to the fear. So we talk about refusing refugees and closing borders and putting up walls and giving up liberties to be safer. Excuse me, I need to take something to drink. And that doesn't work. It doesn't work at all. It can't. It can't possibly work. The opposite of war isn't peace. It's creation. When we create, we have an opportunity to be powerful. We have an opportunity to change the world. Creation changes things. War does change things. There's no two ways about it. I try to teach my son's history and current events and other things, and it's amazing and horrifying to realize how much of everything is shaped by who won, who attacked, who was our enemy. We need to know our passions. We need to know our desires. What I posted on Facebook was that that was going to be my answer when things like this continue to happen. And they will continue. I don't doubt that. But I will return to passion and desire. And from them, I will create things in the world that are unique and special. I will create the things that only I can create. I am going to bring to the world the things that I can bring to it that nobody else can. I'm going to bring my passion and my desires. I'm going to be here to support women to embrace their sexual empowerment, to be authentically feminine, to develop their power within so that nobody can have power over them. Because that makes a difference. that will make a difference. It will spread, it will ripple, because I am committed to creating from my passion, from my desires. And I'm committed to inspiring others to do the same. I'm committed to inspiring you to find what is awesome and unique and special that matters to you, whether it's drawing, coloring, cooking, singing, dancing, knitting. I don't know. I tend to lose creative things because that's who I am. But for you, it could be building, jogging, developing something, being an architect, whatever it is that lights you up. In the musical Godspell, he said, the light has lost something. If that light is under a bushel, it's lost something kind of crucial. You have to stay bright to be the light of the world. And each one of us needs to be a light, an individual light, a light lighting others. As strange as that might sound, you know, we're going to both be our own light and be a light that shines for others, that illuminates other candles, that inspires other people to be going after their passion. Because when people are going after their passions, when they're living the things that matter to them, how on earth could we be doing to one another what we are? And maybe I'm being, you know, I do, I listen to myself, I'm like, wow, I turned into a modern day hippie. Make love, not war. And yet I kind of really do believe it. So that's my oh my. I'm going to change things up a little bit with my oh no today, because if you saw my things on Facebook, we're going to be talking about foreplay. Seriously, there are some oh no's when it comes to foreplay. Trust me. Come on back and I'll tell you more on the O Spot here on Om Times Radio.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. Om Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single Om Times endeavor. Host your show with Om Times Radio Network.
Are you ready to shift your energy, consciousness, and limiting beliefs? Join me, Shefali Burns, every Monday at 5 p.m. Eastern on Shifting with Shefali here on Om Times Radio. Shift the blocks, limitations, and negative energies that have kept you from experiencing a life filled with joy, peace, love, abundance, and happiness. Are you ready to shift with Shefali? Are you ready to shine your brilliance?
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Evolution is where sexuality and spirituality meets. Join me, clinical sexologist Martha Tara Lee, on Eros Evolution on Thursdays, 4 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Rachel Kenley, and you are here on the O Spot on Om Times. So, if you saw my things I posted about, I saw this great this great quote, and it was attributed to Dr. Ruth Westheimer, and I'm sorry to say that I can't confirm or deny it. It's driving me crazy. Because I really want to confirm it. I know it's probably likely that she said it, but there's just not a lot of listings for, if you look her up, if you Google her, there's tons of videos, which is really cool. But what there isn't is like a list of quotes, like they do for Mae West and my other, lovelies. So supposedly she said, foreplay is what happens, is everything that happened since the last time you had sex. Think about that for a moment. Foreplay is everything that happens since the last time you had sex. You're thinking about all the things that you did and or did not do with your spouse, significant other, partner, since the last time you guys had sex. Oh, no, exactly. Everything since the last time you had sex is foreplay. How have you been treating him? Have you been good to her? Have you been loving, flirting, supportive, romantic? Have you been someone you'd want to have sex with? Oh, no. That's all I could think of when I read that quote. Oh, no. I have definitely done some things that perhaps shouldn't have done. If I wanted to be considered a good partner, a romantic partner, a loving partner, it's one of those I think I need to think it out again kind of moments. So let's say, think of your afterplay. All right, that part's gone well. You've held each other, you've cuddled, you've fallen asleep. The next morning is wonderful. I know a lot of people find this funny, but I know it's true. My husband has a tendency to make the bed after we've had sex. It's sort of this. I always joke. It's like, oh, we have a bed. I know we do because I had sex in it. Let me fix this up. So there it is. You had it and things are well. And for another day or so, that's fine. You still have a bit of an afterglow. You felt sexy. You had a great experience. Maybe you had an awesome orgasm. Maybe he did. Maybe she did. All of those good things. And then you slip into real life and the way things always are. And are you treating your partner the way you would if this was foreplay? I know I'm pausing a lot this time, but I really want you guys to think, and I hope you're smiling. I hope you're, even laughing at yourself a little bit, because it made me laugh, and it made me really honestly say, oh, damn. Which is not the name of the section, but it could be today. Oh, damn. I didn't think of this, because there's a truth to it. Especially when you're in a long-term relationship, everything that's happened between the last time you were in bed together and having sex and the next time comes into bed with you. You bring that with you. It's one of the things that's so challenging in a long-term relationship about sex. It's hard to not have all those identifiers and weights with you in bed. It's been a week since you guys had that fight, but you remember it. And you didn't like it. And it hurt. And maybe you're still a little bruised from it. And now you bring that into bed. Now that's become part of the foreplay. It's there. Whether you've ever known this to be true or not, whether you've ever thought about it, whether you even agree with it, unfortunately, it's true. Everything, foreplay is everything that happened since the last time you've had sex. So what have you done that was good for your relationship? That's the good foreplay. That's the enticing. And what have you been doing that's not? What have you been doing that maybe pushes your partner away a bit? Or even pulls you away? Now, I'm making a distinction there, and I mean to. There's two different things that happen in a relationship that causes cracks and stress and challenges. Us pushing our partner away. You know, the nagging or the rolling eyes. I hear those are they've done studies on eye rolling and how bad it is for a relationship, and especially in a marriage. And I'm pretty sure that's where the teens get it from, and that's sad because we know we hate it when they do it. So the times you've pushed them away, and then the times you've pulled you away. And I am guilty of this. I have done this at times. The times when I make sure I'm fast asleep before he comes up. Or kind of cut short any time we have together in the evenings. My husband works non-traditional hours, so he's usually not home until... Actually, usually not until about this time, but he was home early tonight. You know, what were the ways I did other work or made other commitments more of a priority than him and pulled myself away? So now you've got two pieces of the dynamic going. You're pushing one and you're pulling you, and you're getting like twice far apart. You know, so it's stressful. It's very, very stressful. And as it turns out, it's also foreplay. Because everything that's happened from one day to the next, and the next to the next, is part of your relationship now. It's there in bed with you. Ugh. Oh, when I say it like that, I almost creep myself out. Oh, my goodness. I mentioned this in the Oh No section because, as I said, that was my first thought. I was just like, oh, no, you're kidding. And, oh, no, that is so damn true. And I've seen it and felt it. You know, why can't you get in the mood when you know you're having sex later that day? Because of the 2 weeks prior to it. And all those fat foreplay. How are you supposed to overcome? How are you supposed to let's say 2 hours? Let's say 2 hours. Yeah, foreplay. You know, your husband go out. He's been teasing you. You've been flirting with him. Can the 2 hours you spend at dinner or the 3 hours you spend at a movie, whatever it is, compensate for the X amount of days prior to that and since you had sex last that's also been foreplay? I don't know, maybe the thing you do is have sex every day. Ha-ha, then there's not so much time. And I know people who have tried that as an experiment for like a month or a week, and it actually does some amazing things to their relationship and for their relationship. I'm wondering if this isn't one of the reasons why. Everything, foreplay is everything that happened since the last time you had sex. No wonder you were not in the mood. Think about when you were dating. What did you do for yourself in between the times since you had seen your partner? What did you do for them? How were you with them? How were you with you?
Were you wearing perfume more? Dressing nicer? Wearing better underwear? Seriously, when did your husband finally, or your partner, I always say husband because that's what I have, partner finally actually see your granny panties? Or gentlemen, the holy boxers, if for those of you listening, because I know I have some male listeners. You know, we say marriage changes us. We say he doesn't treat me the way he used to. She doesn't look at me like she once did. We say I've gained weight. I don't feel beautiful. I feel fat. I feel tired. Work is stressful. Somewhere in the back of our minds, we think, how fast can we get this over with on occasion? It's awful in some ways what we do to ourselves and our partners. And then, you know, the experts say, well, why isn't there more sex in marriage? And why does marriage end sex for people? It doesn't. It's foreplay, apparently, though. No, it adds to the foreplay. And if you're not aware, and this is something we come back to so often here, if you're not aware that what you're doing is a form of foreplay, is influencing your relationship, is having an impact on your sex life, you can't change it. You need to do things a little differently. Not necessarily a lot. But when you're feeling anger build, or you're feeling resentment or tired or whatever it is that hasn't been working, think to yourself, well, if this is foreplay, do I want to keep going with in the direction I'm going in? Oh no, indeed. Come on back after the break to the O-Spot on Om Times Radio, because you never know what I'm going to say next.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. Om Times. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Welcome to The Gathering Around My Kitchen Table on Equilarium FM, Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Join my guests as we integrate spirituality into everyday reality with vibrant conversations, inspired interviews, and my latest channeled guidance to inspire and brighten your day. I'm Claire Johnson, and together we'll be raising vibrations across the nations.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Hey ladies, do you want to have that good hair day feeling all the time? Gentlemen, would you want your special someone to have that glow, letting you know she's feeling completely satisfied? This feeling and that glow can be yours by embracing your sexual power. So join me, Rachel Kenley, award-winning romance author, on The O-Spot. The O-Spot will guide you to that peak with guest interviews, book discussions, and conversations on the thrills of sexual empowerment. Put the zing back in your life. Come up and see me sometime on The O-Spot, live on Hump Day at 10 p.m. Eastern.
Feed your soul with Waves of Consciousness on Om Times Radio.
Well, how did you like the promo? It's me, and you're back, and here I am. It's crazy. I'm sorry. I'm typing. Send them my old one, my new one. The I'm sorry, I'm just letting them know that, you know, my own promo is coming up in my show, and that's not really helping A, my show, or B, somebody else's show, because you should hear somebody different other than me. By the way, almost always at some point during all of our shows, I mentioned becoming a radio host here on Om Times. And if you have a passion and something that you think really clicks and fits with our listeners, leaders, whew, I'll tell you where my head is, our listeners, please feel free to email me, rachelkenley@gmail.com, or find me on Facebook, either my regular page or my author page, which is facebook.com/author Rachel Kenley. Excuse me. Ooh, look, I already got a, already got a response. I can send my new one back. Okay, good. Sorry. I told you I was having a rambling day between getting lots of work done and finishing a book and all this other stuff. But feel free to get in touch with me or go to omtimes.com and check it out. I know I've said here that this is one of my favorite hours of my week. I love that I can count on it, that I can be here with you, that I can research what I want to talk with you about and share with you, and then I hear back from you, and it's wonderful. So if this is something that speaks to you, come join us or find out more about it. Take the leap. I was scared to death a little over a year ago last October when I started this. So definitely, if it speaks to you, then speak to us. You know, I know that sounds corny, but it's really true. For me, it was a great leap. I'm so glad I did it. I hope you would be too. So, all right. I have a new Brené Brown interview, presentation, that somebody just sent to me recently. There's this great, new thing. It's actually called supersoul.tv, and it's something that Oprah and others are doing. Ta-da! And Brené had started. One of the ways she got so well known was being on Oprah. And she's talked about vulnerability, and she's talked about shame, and now for Oh Yes. And to me, this goes very nicely, actually, with talking about, you know, the concept, as I said earlier, about foreplay being everything that happened since the last time you had sex. So she's talking about what does it mean to trust someone. Trust. That's a big one for a lot of people, for ourselves, for others. And I mean that trusting ourselves, trusting other people. It's not easy for many people. So, what does it mean to trust someone is what it says on the page. What does it mean to trust yourself? Brené Brown breaks down her world-renowned research into a jar of marbles. Yes, a jar of marbles. Brené Brown's Super Soul session takes you step-by-step through the acronym BRAVING, B-R-A-V-I-N-G, revealing the anatomy of trust and why it all starts with the small everyday moments you might be missing. See the connection to the foreplay between since the last time you, okay, good. I think this goes on a little long. Yes, it will go past our session a bit, this section into our Oh Wow. But of course, what Brené teaches is definitely something to bring out to the world. So in many ways, she's now my guest tonight, the incredibly talented Brené Brown on trusting yourself and someone else.
Findings that kick me in the butt and make me change my entire life. that's the hard part. But I get to dig into the stuff that I think matters in my life, in the life of the people around me. And the topic of trust is something I think I probably would have eventually started to look at closely because I study shame and vulnerability. But there's a very personal reason I jumped to trust early in my research career, and it was a personal experience. One day, my daughter, Ellen, came home from school. She was in third grade. And the minute we closed the front door, she literally just started sobbing and slid down the floor until she was just kind of a heap of crying on the floor. And of course, it scared me. I said, what's wrong, Ellen? What happened? What happened? And she pulled herself together enough to say, something really hard happened to me today at school, and I shared it with a couple of my friends during recess. And by the time we got back into the classroom, everyone in my class knew what had happened. And they were laughing and pointing at me and calling me names. And it was so bad, and the kids were being so disruptive, that her teacher even had to take marbles out of this marble jar. And the marble jar in the classroom is a jar where if the kids are making great, you know, great choices together, the teacher adds marbles. If they're making not great choices, the teacher takes out marbles. And if the jar gets filled up, there's a celebration for the class. And so she said, it was one of the worst moments of my life. They were laughing and pointing, and Ms. Bonner, my teacher, kept saying, I'm going to take marbles out, you know, and she didn't know what was happening. And she looked at me, and she just with this face that is just seared into my mind and said, I will never trust anyone again. And my first reaction, to be really honest with you, was damn straight. You don't tell anybody anything but your mama. Yeah, right? That's it. I mean, you just tell me. And when you grow up and you go off to school, mom will go too. I'll get a little apartment. And the other thing I was thinking, to be quite honest with you, is I will find out who those kids were. And while I'm not going to beat up a 9-year-old, I know their mamas. That's the place you go to. And I'm like, how am I going to explain trust to this third grader in front of me? So I took a deep breath and I said, Ellen, trust is like a marble jar. She said, what do you mean? And I said, you share those hard stories and those hard things that are happening to you with friends who over time filled up their marble jar. They've done thing after thing after thing where you're like, I know I can share this with this person. Does that make sense? That's what Ellen said. Yes, that makes sense. And I said, do you have any marble jar friends? She said, oh yeah, I do. Hannah and Laura are marble jar friends. And I said, and then this is where things got interesting. I said, tell me what you need. How do they earn marbles for you? She's like, well, Lorna, if there's not a seat for me at the lunch cafeteria, she'll scoot over and give me half a Heine seat. And I'm like, she will? She's like, yeah, she'll just sit down like that. And I can sit with her. So that's a big deal. This is not what I was expecting to hear. And I said, and she said, you know, Hannah, on Sunday at my soccer game, and I was waiting for the story where she said, I got hit by a ball, and I was laying on the field, and Hannah picked me up and ran me to first aid. And I was like, yeah. And she said, Hannah looked over, and she saw Oma and Opa, my parents, her grandparents, and she said, look, your Oma and Opa are here. And I was like, she got a marble for that? And she goes, well, you know, not all my friends have eight grandparents. Because my parents are divorced and remarried. My husband's parents are divorced and remarried. And she said, and it was so nice to me that she remembered their names. And I was like, And she said, do you have marble jar friends? And I said, yeah, I do have a couple of marble jar friends. And she said, well, what kind of things do they do to get marbles? And this feeling came over me, and I thought, the first thing I could think of, because we were talking about the soccer game, was that same game, my good friend Eileen walked up to my parents and said, Deanne, David, good to see you. And I remember what that felt like for me. And I was like, certainly, trust cannot be built by these small and significant moments in our lives. It's got to be a grander gesture than that. So, as a researcher, I start looking into the data. I gather up the doctoral students who've worked with me. We start looking. And it is crystal clear. Trust is built in very small moments. And when we started looking at examples of when people talked about trust in the research, they said things like, yeah, I really trust my boss. She even asked me how my mom's chemotherapy was going. I trust my neighbor. Because if something's going on with my kid, it doesn't matter what she's doing, she'll come over and help me figure it out. You know, one of the number one things emerged around trust in small things? People who attend funerals. This is someone who showed up at my sister's funeral. Another huge marble jar moment for people. Trust him because he'll ask for help. How many of you are better at giving help than asking for help, right? So asking for help is one of those moments. So one of the ways I work as a grounded theory researcher is I look at the data first, then I go in and see what other researchers are talking about and saying, because we believe the best theories are not built on other existing theories, but on our own lived experiences. So after I looked at this, I said, let me see what the research says. And I went to John Gottman, who's been studying relationship for 30 years. He has amazing work on trust and betrayal. And the first thing I read, trust is built in the smallest moments. And he calls them sliding door moments. Sliding Doors is a movie with Gwyneth Paltrow from the 90s. Have y'all seen this movie? So it's a really tough movie because what happens is it follows her life to this seemingly unimportant moment where she's trying to get on a train.
I know. You want to hear the rest. And it's got, like, let's see. It's got almost 15 minutes left. So come back and we'll hear the rest. And I hope you're thinking of the marble jar people in your life. Because I know I'm thinking about the ones in mine.
Bringing a more conscious lifestyle to your world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. Om Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single Om Times endeavor. Host your show with Om Times Radio Network.
If you remember living fearlessly, joyfully, and in a world filled with adventure, happiness, pleasure, and unbridled living, then this show is for you. Join me, Dame Nicole Brandon, as I bring you the world's top experts in wealth, creativity, flow, seat edging technology, space, wellness, health, love, lust, and passion, all merging together each week here at the Hub of Happiness. Mondays at 6 p.m. Pacific Time and 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Passionate Living, where you can ride on the magic carpet ride of living and learn how to lead a passionately wild, exciting, and outrageously amazing life.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at Om Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. Om Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Have you bought into the idea that you have to work hard for your money, that business is hard? I will share some dynamic access consciousness tools to get you out of your own way so you can create a business that actually succeeds. Join me, Simone Millicers, on The Joy of Business at 4 p.m. Mondays Eastern.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
All right. We don't have a lot of time. I'm going to get right back into Brené's talk on trust.
She makes the dream was dying to finish this book. So he said, I don't even want to leave. I want to get up, brush my teeth, go to the bathroom, and get back in, and not have to get up. I just want to get that feeling when he's going to get all situated for the end of the book. So he gets up, and he goes, walks past me, and he's like, now, brush your hair. And he said, my first thought was, just keep walking, just keep walking. And how many of you have had that moment where you walk past someone, and you're like, oh God, or that you look at caller ID or your cell phone and you're like, oh yeah, I know she's in a big mess right now. I don't have time to pick up the phone, right? Yes or no? This looks like guilty laughter to me. He said, that's a sliding door moment. And here's what struck me about the story. Because he said, there is the opportunity to build trust. And there is the opportunity to betray. Because as small as the moments of trust can be, those are the moments of betrayal as well. To choose to not connect when the opportunity is there is a betrayal. So he took the brush out of her hand and started brushing her hair and said, what's going on with you right now, babe? That's a moment of trust, right? So fast forward 5 years, and I'm clear about trust. And I talk about trust as the marble jar. We got to really share our stories and our heart and stuff with people whose jars are full. People who, over time, really done those small things that have helped us believe that they're worth our story. But the new question for me was this. What are those marbles? What is trust? What do we talk about when we talk about trust? Trust is a big word, right? To hear I trust you or I don't trust you, I don't even know what that means. So I want to know, what is the anatomy of trust? What does that mean? So I started looking in the research, and I found a definition from Charles Feldman that I think is the most beautiful definition I've ever heard. And it's simply this. Trust is choosing to make something important to you vulnerable to the actions of someone else. Choosing to make something important to you vulnerable to the actions of someone else. Feldman says that distrust is what I have shared with you that is important to me is not safe with you. So I thought, that's true. And Feldman really calls for this, let's understand what trust is. So we went back into all the data to find out, can I figure out what trust is? Do I know what trust is from the data? And I think I do know what trust is. And I put together an acronym, BRAVING, BRAVING, BRAVING. Because when we trust, we are braving connection with someone. So what are the parts of trust? B, boundaries. I trust you. If you are clear about your boundaries, and you hold them, and you're clear about my boundaries, and you respect them, there is no trust without boundaries. R, reliability. I can only trust you if you do what you say you're going to do. And not once. Reliability, let me tell you what reliability is in research terms. We're always looking for things that are valid and reliable. Any researchers here are research kind of geeks? 10 of us. Okay, so we would say a scale that you weigh yourself on is valid if you get on it. And it's an accurate weight, 120. So that would be a very valid scale. I would pay a lot of money for that scale. That's actually not a valid scale, but we're saying for the sake of this. That's a valid scale. A reliable scale is a scale that if I got on it 100 times, it's going to say the same thing every time. So what reliability is you do what you say you're going to do over and over and over again. You cannot gain and earn my trust if you're reliable once, because that's not the definition of reliability. In our working lives, reliability means that we have to be very clear on our limitations so we don't take on so much that we come up short and don't deliver on our commitments. In our personal life, it means the same. So when we say to someone, oh God, it was so great seeing you, I'm going to give you a call, we can have lunch. Yes or no? It was really great seeing you. Right? But honest. So B, boundaries are reliability. A, huge. Accountability. I can only trust you if, when you make a mistake, you are willing to own it, apologize for it, and make amends. I can only trust you if, when I make a mistake, I am allowed to own it, apologize, and make amends. No accountability, no trust. V, and this one should be difficult. Fault. The fault. What I share with you is in confidence. What you share with me, I will hold in confidence. But you know what we don't understand when this came up over and over again in research? We don't understand the other side of the wall. That's only one door on the box. Here's where we lose trust with people. If a good friend comes up to me and says, oh my God, did you hear about Caroline? They're getting a divorce. And it is ugly. I'm pretty sure her partner's cheating. You just shared something with me that was not yours to share. And now my trust for you, even though you're gossiping and giving me the juice, now my trust for you is completely diminished. Does that make sense? So the vault is not just about the fact that you hold my confidences. It's that in our relationship, I see that you acknowledge confidentiality. Here's the tricky thing about the vault. A lot of times, we share things that are not ours to share as a way to hotwire connection with a friend. Right? If you don't have anything nice to say, come sit next to me. You know, that's our, yes or no, like our closeness is built on talking bad about other people. You know what I call that? Common enemy intimacy. What we have is not real. The intimacy we have is built on hating the same people. And that's counterfeit. That's counterfeit trust. That's not real. So the vault means you respect my story, but you respect other people's story. I, integrity, I cannot trust you and be in a trusting relationship with you if you do not act from a place of integrity and encourage me to do the same. So what is integrity? So I came up with this definition because I didn't like any of the ones out there. That's what I do when I don't like them. I do. I look at the data and I say, what's integrity? Here's what I think integrity is. Three pieces. It's choosing courage over comfort. Choosing what's right over what's fun, fast, or easy. And practicing your values, not just professing your values. Right? And that's integrity. In non-judgment, I can fall apart, ask for help, and be in struggle without being judged by you, and you can fall apart and be in struggle and ask for help without being judged by me, which is really hard because we're better at helping than we are asking for help, and we think that we've set up trusting relationships with people who really trust us because we're always there to help them. Let me tell you this. If you can't ask for help and they cannot reciprocate that, that is not a trusting relationship. Period. And when we assign value to needing help, when I think less of myself for needing help, whether you're conscious of it or not, when you offer help to someone, you think less of them too. You cannot judge yourself for needing help, but not judge others for needing your help. And somewhere in there, if you're like me, you're getting value from being the helper in a relationship. You think that's your worth. But real trust doesn't exist unless help is reciprocal and not judgment. The last one is G, generosity. Our relationship is only a trusting relationship if you can assume the most generous thing about my words, intentions, and behaviors, and then check in. So if I screw up, say something, forget something, you will make a generous assumption and say, yesterday was my mom's 1-year anniversary of her death, and it was really tough for me, and I talked to you about it last month. I really was hoping that you would have called. But I know you care about me, and you think it's a big deal, so I wanted to let you know that I've been thinking about that. As opposed to not returning calls, not returning emails, and waiting for the moment where you can spring, oh, you forgot to call on this report. You know, you'll make a generous assumption about me and check it out. Does that make sense? So we've got boundaries, reliability, accountability, fault, integrity, non-judgment, and generosity. Please, this is the anatomy of trust, and it's complex.
This is the anatomy of trust. Isn't it beautiful? I think this is something I'll continue with you next week. We've got like 4 more minutes in her presentation. I may play it back a bit. Have a great week, everybody. Think about what you're thankful for. Think about your foreplay. And think about joining me next week on the O Spot on Om Times Radio. I'm Rachel Kenley. Good night.